And on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. How many of you know what's coming next? You know that Mary, that they ran out of wine after some days of celebration, that Mary went to Jesus with the problem that he said, "My time has not yet come," that she's told the servants, "Do what he tells you," and that he later told them to fill the jars with water. When the water was taken to the master of the banquet, it was wine of the best quality. And that was the first of the miraculous signs that Jesus did that revealed his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And even though this event is so commonly known among us, it is just that commonness that makes it worth remembering year after year after year. The occasion was, after all, really a common event. Not that weddings aren't special, but who can count the number of weddings that have gone on around the world in just the last 10 years? Not to mention since God instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden. Perhaps you attended a wedding over the Christmas break. If you did, I'm sure it was special, but only one of many such events. Weddings and marriages are common not only among Christians, but also among unbelievers. The people of Noah's day were celebrating weddings here and there right up to the day that the flood came and destroyed them all. We might think that Jesus ought to choose something a little less common to show forth his glory. Some nationwide event, maybe, like Passover or Pentecost. But no, he goes to a common little village, to a wedding reception that the world would little note nor long remember. So what does that tell you about the chances of his accepting your invitation to your wedding someday? Your invitation may mention no one famous, at a place that is little known in the world, and yet he will come to pronounce his word of blessing upon your marriages. Hey, I've got an idea. Let's also invite him to our meals, as common as they are. Do you think that he would also bless us and all the gifts that he has given on and around the table? That's what we ask in the common table prayer, as we call it. Remember how common the fare was at Cana? Water and wine are two of the most common drinks all over the world. I would think that turning the Nile into blood would be a much better sign of his glory. At least it would be more spectacular. But he takes the common things of this life, and the common people too. The peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and our own friends and family, and makes them into blessings for us. Evidences of his glory. Even things which many others have misused and abused, like wine, Jesus does not mind giving to the unnamed couple in Cana. Of course, he didn't give it right away, did he? I wonder if there's such a thing as a belated wedding card. His mother, Mary, had her own idea of the proper hour for Jesus to help. And so do we. When we are in any trouble, sorrow, suffering, or need, would any time be too soon to suit us for him to help? But Jesus works kind of behind the scenes and in his own time and at just the right time, even if we have to wait for that time. And in the meantime, although we don't worship Mary or pray to her, we would do well to follow her advice. Do whatever he tells you. For he always has our best interest at heart. Given later in the celebration, the Cana couple's wine would probably last for weeks at least, because it was too late for the guests to drink it all. And even if we cannot see how, we know that he will bring uncommon blessings to us too, at just the right time. For unlike the things of this life, which all wear out and become obsolete, the Lord of glory transforms the common things of this life so that they are better at the last. The governor of the feast calls the bridegroom to ask him why he had saved the best for last. The world doesn't do it that way. There, the best is served first. The joys, the celebrations, the strengths, the steroids, everything is served up as soon as possible. And then it's later that the joy fades. The celebrations are just a memory. The strength turns to weakness. Youth turns to age. Stolen pleasures turn to ashes in the mouth. But Jesus' blessing begins in a stable and ends up at the right hand of God. Christ's blessing comes to the poor spirit, the broken and contrite heart, mourning its sinfulness before God, and lifts them without a problem, just a word of forgiveness, until finally that word is, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a glorious Savior we have. Hymn 127, stanzas 4 and 5. 127, the last two stanzas.